Welcome to the 2024 Virtual Region Convention and to our diverse sponsoring session. My name is Katie, and I'm a compulsive overeater, and I will be your moderator for this session. Tonight, we'll have three speakers. Each speaker will talk on the topic for up to 10 minutes. Our first speaker is Blythe. So please take it away, Blythe.
Thank you. Hi, everybody. My name is Blythe. I am a compulsive overeater, bulimic, anorexic. Hello, hello, and I'm so grateful to be here, recovered today by the grace of God and the 12 steps and the fellowship of this program. As somebody in our meeting says, you know, recovered, not cured. So I'm going to steal that from her. Lisa mentioned something about hopefully this will motivate people to sponsor. You know, we need sponsors in our fellowship. And I like that she said that. And I'm hoping some of my sponsors are listening because I have a sponsee who says, this is not an 11th step program. This is a 12 step program. So at the 12th step, we get a promise, we get a spiritual awakening, and then it follows with a responsibility. And that responsibility, I was taught, was to carry this message to other compulsive overeaters who are still sick and suffering, just like I was and can still be today. So just really quickly, I feel blank and I'm thinking, well, God's going to speak through me. But, you know, what if he doesn't? We'll see. All right. So, you know, I don't do this. I don't do the sponsoring. God does the sponsoring. I rely on God today because, you know, I learned here in my first step that I'm powerless and my life's unmanageable. I can't manage my life. So if God's managing my life, he's managing my sponsorship too. And I have to be honest, a couple of my sponsees are in the audience and hopefully they will, not be shocked by what I say because they've been through it. I've been doing this for a very long time. I came in the rooms in 88. My first day of abstinence was in 89. And like I said, by the grace of God, I have been abstinent. I started sponsoring pretty soon on because that's what I was taught. And you know, I didn't feel like I knew what I was doing at all. I remember talking to a sponsee and then hanging up and going, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have said that. I got to call her back. I got to tell her something else, you know. And I started out feeling like I did not know what I was doing. But that didn't stop me. And I'm so grateful because I see people are afraid and they don't want to go out there. And the only way you could do it wrong is to not do it at all. It's really about the sponsee. If the sponsee wants it, you're going to be amazing. If the sponsee doesn't want it, then you're not going to be amazing because it's really about, you know, I think it's on them. I can't make anybody have a first step, take a first step. But if that person is gets to a place that I got to, which we call the gift of desperation, then I became willing and open and teachable. And then I could follow the steps. I use the big book. I really don't use OA material. I'm not opposed to it, but I felt like I needed to say that because we're here to show different ways of sponsoring. I have used OA material in the past. Right now, I work just with the big book and with the AA 12 and 12. If I have a sponsee who wants to do the OA workbook or has questions, or I'll quote things from the OA book that I just love. But my main focus is the big book. That's pretty much the way I've learned what I've learned. It sounds like I know what I'm talking about. I can quote a lot of pages. It only taken me over 30 years to be able to do that. So if anybody's impressed, don't be impressed. Because 10 years ago, I probably couldn't have done it. It takes time. It takes practice. It takes recovery. One thing I've never stopped doing is showing up. I show up every day and I've never stopped sponsoring. I heard somebody say, if I never stop doing the basics, I never have to go back to the basics. So I teach my girls the basics. I don't know if I teach them. I don't know what I do, but I let them know. I share my experience with how I found power because in the first step, I don't have power. The lights are out. No matter how hard, how long I flip the switch, the lights are not going to go on. I need an electrician. So I have found my electrician, a power greater than myself. And I help them. I actually have a couple guys right now. so I can't just say girls. Sorry, guys, if you're listening. I help them find a power, because that to me is the solution, that without power, I am still powerless. And if I'm still powerless, I'm kind of screwed. You know, there's nothing changes. I might be able to stay abstinent even. I don't want to white knuckle though, because it's not about the abstinence. It's about the emotional sobriety. And again, it's taken me a long time. So I have a lot of experience to share. And through the book, big book, like they say, if you do what we did, you'll get what we got. And I can say the same thing to them. You know, maybe you don't believe you'll get it, but do you believe that I believe you'll get it? So I do a lot of, I do not a lot. I do. I follow the instructions in the big book. I use the 12 and 12. I always start when I work with my people. I try to work with people once a week on step work, and then I talk to people in between. I always start with a set aside prayer, because I need to hear it. You know, God, please enable me to set aside everything I think I know so that I can have an open mind and a new experience. I wake up believing that I too can have a new experience today with that same big book, with that same 12 and 12. And that's what I hope for my people. I'm going to call them people instead of girls or boys. They're mine. See, I still have a little possession stuff going on. Share my experience, strength, and hope. That's really all I got, is experience, strength, and hope. So this isn't just about, it is reading a textbook, some people say, but my intent is to help people have experiences. Because if I don't have experiences with the steps, then I'm not going to be moved, maybe. I'm not going to want to practice them. I practice these steps every day of my life. The steps are circular. They're not linear like on the wall. To me, they're circular. We keep doing them over and over. And every time I take somebody through the steps, I'm back on step one. So I don't forget my step one. And then I show them, or try, you know, show them what I've learned about the steps. And to always, if I'm always taking a newcomer through the steps, I'm always reminded of that first step. And I don't want to forget that first step. This is life or death for me. You know, working with others, it tells me nothing is as, what's the word, immunity. There's no immunity from eating as working with others. And food was my solution. I learned that I had an illness here. Way sponsorship started for me, the woman who is still my sponsor today, 30 some years ago, she gave me her phone number and she said, call me. She approached me. Bill talks about that in the big book. We approach people. If they're sitting, new people, and they're sitting in the corner and they're shy, we don't wait for them. Well, this is what I learned. Don't wait for them to come out. They're shy. Approach people. Ask people if they want help. She approached me. She gave me her phone number. She said, call me, because she thought I was going to die. And I called her and I told her that I couldn't stop binging. And she said, of course you can't. You're a compulsive overeater. She told me it wasn't my fault. She told me I needed to accept where I was at. This is the stuff I pass on to people, to help people accept where they're at. It started that way for me. And with that acceptance and not shooting myself and blaming myself, I just kept coming back, and I could hear what I could hear as best as I could hear it. And one day I got abstinent, and then I got 2 days, and then I got 2 years, and then I got 20 years. And I kept coming back. This is what I pass on to people. Experience, strength, and hope. So if I want to keep having experience, strength, and hope to share, I got to keep showing up. That's how I get experience, strength, and hope. God puts a lot of things in my life that I feel challenged by, but I remember that it's not about you, Blythe. Maybe this is so you're going to be able to help somebody else one day. And when I remember that, I can get out of myself. I can go through it a little more gracefully. There's so many things I could say. I have a whole actually workshop on sponsorship, and working with others is all about do's and don'ts. All the do's and don'ts you ever wanted to know about working with others is in that chapter. Thank you, guys. I'm honored to be here.
Thank you so much, Blythe. Our second speaker will be Dave. So Dave, please take it away.
Thanks, Blythe. That was great. My name's Dave. I'm a compulsive overeater. I have, this is my second tour of duty in Overeaters Anonymous. I came in the first time in the 90s, just for a little bit of background, and was around for a year. I worked out of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous because my brother that time had like 10 or 12 years sober in AA, and he kind of got me started. And so I work out of the big book with the people I sponsor today because that's what worked for me. I have nothing against the OA material. In fact, if somebody doesn't know if they're really a compulsive overeater or not, if you see yourself in the first three chapters of the OA 12 and 12, chances are real good you're a compulsive overeater, and that's outstanding stuff. So I have a tendency to attract men that are pretty desperate. I was still sponsored by a gentleman that I met when I came into OA, and I was also going to AA. So he's actually my AA sponsor, but he's also sponsored in OA. And he taught me a way to work out of the big book that was started by Dr. Bob in Akron. And what I do is I have something to do every day in the step work. And I pass that on to my people that ask me for help. And for instance, now I get up in the morning and, you know, have a cup of coffee. And then I sit down and I do written inventory, 11 step, and, you know, put out my plans for the day. It's a lot of people can do this in their heads. It helps me a lot if I actually put it on paper. And I do some prayer and meditation, and then I get going. And that's what I did to start, though, is what I start with, people that ask me for help, is I have them get a clean big book, and give the first instruction is they go from the doctor's opinion all the way through page 164, which is the end of chapter 11. And everywhere they see their first step, their powerlessness, their unmanageability, either in life or with the food or the eating behaviors, they should have a red or pink small tip marker, and they just mark wherever in the book they identify with as far as first step goes. And it can be one word, it can be a whole sentence, it can be a whole paragraph. And I advise them to do a chapter a day. And, you know, this isn't something that people that aren't as sick as me, and there's a lot of them, usually after a few days or a few weeks or something like that, go, oh, you know, this really isn't for me. And that's fine. Because, you know, the way I work out of the book probably isn't for a lot of people in LA. But, and I'm not like bragging that I'm sicker, but I'm pretty damn sick. You know, I got up to 410 pounds and suicidal when I came back to OA. And so admittedly, I am sicker than most. What I found and what they usually find is if they're doing the work, they're going to start to get some protection from the disease, which is right here. Well, your disease would be in your head. My disease is definitely in my head. So, and when they get towards the end of their first step, we get together and I give them directions for second step. I also advise food wise that they make a red, yellow, and green light list. And I'm sure most people out here are familiar with that. Red lights being the foods that I just love. But can't have yellow ones. I'm not really sure or I think are safe. And green is where all the green leafy vegetables will. No, I'm a kidder and I do it a lot when I'm nervous. So I apologize. But I put them right into the step work. I advise them to go to a meeting a day. If that's possible, you know, make time for it. And, tell them it's going to be bumpy, you know, because it is. this disease kills people. Thank you. This disease kills people. Kills people every day. It doesn't matter if it's drugs or alcohol or food or whatever. And this disease is never going to let up. It's always going to be there. What working the steps does is keeps it at bay, you know. And I found out the first time it came in, I was here for a year and did really well. And you know, like I said, it took me, inside I was fixed, it took me 15 years to get back here. So I never underestimate. I have a healthy respect for the power of this disease. Once they go through the first three steps in the book, I put them in the fourth step. And, I write the, three, four column Akron method of, inventory. And, you know, I have make a list of the people in their lives that they, chronological, preferably, that, they feel they have harmed or who they have resentments against. Also, fears and, you know, resentments of institutions, principles, and, finally the sex inventory. Like I said, I generally sponsor men. If I am sponsoring a woman, once they get to their fifth step, then I usually, like my wife's a sponsor in OA, steer them towards a lady that can help them. I've had remarkable success with a few people. But like I said before, unless you're really sick and really desperate, you're probably not going to be able to do what I do. The thing that my sponsor drilled into me and that I pray for and write and is just to see these people as sick. They don't deserve to be punished. They don't deserve to be talked down to, and they deserve to be loved. If we had cancer and we're laying in a bed, struggling, fighting for our lives, nobody would be telling us we aren't trying hard enough. But society sees this as a flaw. You know, they see alcoholism as a disease. They see drug addiction as a disease. They see this as, you know, just being weak-willed. Well, this weak-willedness kills a lot of people, and it's getting worse every day. The good news is there is a real solution. I was agnostic when I came in here. I'm not agnostic anymore. I wanted to see proof. I got to see proof. I got to see it in the mirror, and I see it every day. And I've met some wonderful, beautiful, lovely people in these programs over the years that'll be friends for the rest of my life and people I sponsor. And, you know, I just, if you're here tonight, God bless you, you know, because, hopefully you're working the steps and you'll become a sponsor.
2 minutes. And,
thank you. And you'll become a sponsor and help save people's lives. And, there's nothing, this is where I started. There's nothing like watching somebody, whether I sponsor or not, recover. I remember the first time I was working with somebody and I could see the light come on in their eyes. That where it was kind of dead before, they have this kind of light in their eyes. And, man, if that isn't, you know, I wouldn't take money for this. But if I did, it wouldn't be worth all the money in the world to see that light come on in somebody's eyes and to see them recover and lose weight or stop purging or whatever. But, you know, it's not me. And it's all, I found it in the big book. I've seen people recover doing the OA material. So I want to make that clear. I'm not down on the OA material. I just do what's worked for me. So I'm so honored to have been invited by Blythe to speak here. And Blythe's my hero, so Blythe is okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. And our third speaker will be Cindy. Cindy, you now have the floor. Please take it away.
Hi, everyone. I'm Cindy. I'm a compulsive eater, and thank you for the first two panels. That was really beautiful. And I'm so grateful to be here tonight. And I've been in this program for most of my life. I came into my first meeting when I was 12 years old. I didn't stay, but, you know, the seed was planted, and I never forgot that this place existed. And I knew that from the first time I came back willingly on my own as an adult, I have never stopped coming back. I knew that there was some kind of magic here that I have never found anywhere else. And I came into the second time around, I came to that meeting weighing about 479 pounds. And, you know, I had a lot of health problems at a very young age, and I couldn't stop eating. I could not go from my car to my house to my job. You know, I just could not stop eating for anything in the world. And no matter what was going on in my life, the food was my master. Like it says in Bill's story, you know, food was my master. And this disease will take away my ability to make logical life decisions. It will take away my morals, my standards, my integrity. Everything will go out the window because I need my food more than I need my next breath. And that has been my experience. And this program changed all that for me and completely transformed me from the inside out. I am maintaining a very large weight loss, but that is one of the smallest gifts I've ever received from this program. The ability to be able to look people in the eye, the ability to be able to hold down friendships and be in a true partnership with another human being, to be able to be a good parent, hold down a job. You know, I was homeless and I couldn't hold down a job. I couldn't make a living. I was a prey to misery and depression, you know, all the bedevilments that it says in the big book. And later I get to experience the promises from this program. And I'm also a big book sponsor. I also do, you know, again, not opposed to early literature. I have worked these steps in every way imaginable since I've been here. And I've been in this program now continuously for about 23 years. And, you know, I remember many, many years ago, I had a sponsor, and at my 30-day mark, she said, "I think the best thing in the world for you would be to sponsor." And I did not feel ready whatsoever. And that's how it began for me, you know. And I'm still in contact with my very first sponsee from all those years ago. Now and then we're still like friends on social media. And I know it's really scary. And someone talked about feeling like you don't know what you're doing. I still feel like that to this day. When people tell me like I'm really scared to sponsor and I feel like I don't know what I'm doing, I still feel like I don't know what I'm doing, you know? And, you know, I really let my higher power lead me, or I at least really try to let my higher power lead me. And I feel like my higher power just takes over. I am this person. When I walked in this program, I was a scared little girl that sat in the rooms with my head held down. I never looked anyone in the eye. I was afraid to look at people, and I was afraid to be a part of anything, you know, and I would never talk in a group. I used to buy my own chips, like when I would get like 30 days, 60 days, because I didn't want to raise my hand and have to do a speech. I was so terrified. And today I feel a power greater than myself working on my life when I'm connecting with other people. I feel a magic in this room right now. I feel a magic. And I feel that same magic when I sponsor other people. And in the big book, it says practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. It works when other activities fail. And that has been my experience. There is something so powerful when someone is reaching out for help. You know, no one, and one thing too is like, I get a lot of repeat sponsors. Like I get a lot of people who like will leave and then come back years later and then call me up again. And it's like, I find that to be like an honor. Like I'm this loving channel and this trustworthy person where like people have a good experience, you know, even if they don't stay in these rooms, just the idea that, you know, I'm bringing out that love and that light of this program and care. That's my idea of carrying the message. You know, someone could go back out, but they know that I'm here and they know that I'm like this channel to a power greater than themselves. And you know, I remember years ago, I was speaking on a panel and someone came up to someone came up during the sharing portion and said, every time I leave, whenever I come back, the one certainty is that you're going to still be here because I have never stopped coming back. And that's another gift of this program. And even though it's really scary, and, you know, I've heard throughout the years, you know, there are people are already dying. Like, you don't have to worry about hurting somebody. They're already hurting and they're already dying. And, you know, if someone's not ready, you can't say the right thing. And if they're not, you can't say the wrong thing. You know, I have a 100% success rate. I have remained abstinent 100% of the time. And, you know, whatever happens between them and their higher power, you know, is none of my business. And I spent a lot of time focusing on the steps rather than the food, because that has been what has transformed my life. And, you know, we get this spiritual awakening as the result of these steps. And it's such a beautiful thing to give this gift to somebody else. You know, nobody ever leaves and comes back, or even goes and not even necessarily leaves, but goes back in the food and then calls me to tell me what a great experience it was. So at the very, very least, I want everyone to succeed. I want everyone that I sponsor, everyone that I talk to experience this beautiful gift and joy of living that I have. But that doesn't happen. You know, a lot of the time that doesn't happen. But they call me and they tell me how miserable they are. And I hurt for them, but I also am reminded every time I talk to somebody who's struggling that I don't want that life back for anything, you know? And I love, in working with others, it says, both you and the man must walk day by day, hand in hand, in the path of spiritual progress. And that is such a beautiful visual. You know, it is my job as a sponsor and as a recovered compulsive eater to take someone's hand and put their hand in the hand of God. You know, I am not like a guru, or I'm not like, you know, when people come to me, well, what do I do about it? I share my experience. I don't know what someone else should do. I don't know what their path is. I don't even know what my own path is. But I do have experience to share, and I have a lot of experience to share, and I have a lot of hope to share. You know, I've been here for many, many years, and I have 10 and a half years of absence now, and I am maintaining about a 240-pound weight loss. And every person is different, too. I sponsor different people in different ways, and sometimes things will just come to me, you know, and I'll just tell someone, you know, I just got this idea. Like, what do you think of this? And usually it's like, wow, that's a great idea, you know? And it's not something that I lay awake at night trying to contemplate in my mind. It's just something that comes to me. And, you know, sometimes I'll talk to a sponsee and they'll be like, wow, that's like so profound. And it's like, you know, that's a power greater than you, you know? And it's just such a beautiful thing. You know, after all these years, you know, I don't know what I'm doing, and that's okay. We figure it out together. We figure it out together. And some of my sponsees have been some of my most beautiful friends and some of my greatest gifts. You know, I have sponsees that I love talking to, and I get so much more out of the relationship. And it's just, and I've had so many different sponsors in this program throughout all the years, and each of them gave me exactly what I needed at that moment. And they're so different. I've had the sponsor that's super, super structured, and the sponsor that's super, super loose, and the sponsor that's in between. And at that moment, I trust that my higher power gives me exactly what I need from every moment. Because that's what happened, you know, like things that worked for me in the past would never work for me now. And in that same way, I have to trust that if someone calls me and asks me to, you know, sponsor them and trust me in this way, that I'm going to be exactly what I'm meant to be for that person in that moment. And they're going to be that for me too. Thanks for letting me share.
All right. Thank you, Cindy. It is now Q&A time. With Zoom meetings now, how do you feel about sponsoring people from other countries than yours?
I love it. Oh my God, I love it. I'm living with my mother. She's 97, and I'm taking care of her. And I go, Mom, see you in a little while. I'm going to Israel. Mom, see you in a little while. I'm going to France. See you in a little while. Going to Australia. You know, I love it. I never would have imagined. So I highly recommend it. I feel so close to these people through Zoom, through other countries. It's just been absolutely amazing for me. And I hope it's as amazing for them as it is for me. Yeah. So I'm all for it.
Yeah. I've sponsored two or three gentlemen, mostly in England, or the Isles, the former motherland, as I call it. And it's no different, you know. I mean, this disease doesn't recognize boundaries or you know, but it is amazing. I don't like to think about it too much because I end up going, oh, instead of helping them. But it's a blessing and such an amazing technology.
Cindy, do you want to chime in on this one?
Yeah, I also think it's a really cool thing that we can do, you know. Years ago, I sponsored someone, and I remember them telling me their food, and I was like, what is that? I think they're from Africa. I've sponsored people over the years, like England, Canada. Yeah, it's an amazing, like, thing. Like, I can't remember the last time I sponsored someone in person. It just almost is unheard of now.
Cool. Thank you. All right. Next question. How long had you been abstinent and in the program before you began to sponsor?
I was 30 days as directed by my sponsor.
I was only abstinent a couple of months before I started sponsoring because I was the only one working out of the big book here and I was getting results and people could see it. So I started sponsoring right away and I kept calling my sponsor, going, what the hell am I supposed to do? And he goes, just blah, 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 you know, calm me down, told me to quit swearing, especially at, you know, webinars. So that's, yeah, I owe a lot to him. But yeah, I started right away. And I'll tell you what, nothing lights a flame under your derriere faster than, you know, sponsoring somebody. I've got to stay fit or, you know, anyway.
Blythe, do you want to answer that one too?
I don't really remember. I know it was pretty soon. And I just remember now when I talk to my sponsor and I talk about how wonderful these people are that I'm working with and I just love them and blah, blah, blah. And she laughs and she reminds me 30 some years ago when I'd call her and I'd be complaining. I don't even remember. I don't remember it at all. Like I was complaining, like, oh my God, they called me at 3 o'clock in the morning. All that. And so, yeah, it was hard in the beginning, but I don't ever remember not liking it. You know, I probably was like at 3 o'clock in the morning kind of thing, but I don't remember. I encourage people to do it ASAP. I like to take people through all 12 steps. And of course, as soon as possible, if they've got that first step down, then we go through the steps because the 12th step, even though it's about service, I think it's about love and charity. And I think in order to give it away, you got to have it. And I think they're talking about the spiritual awakening. That's just my own experience. So I think in order to pass it on, I don't think there's anything wrong with helping people. I just, the word sponsor is, you know, takes on a whole new responsibility, I think. But go out there and start helping somebody. You have 2 days and she has 1 day or zero, you've got more than she's got, you know, kind of thing. So.
Okay, thank you. All right, next question. Have any of you ever worked the steps out of the OA literature? What was your experience?
I'll answer that. I definitely have worked the steps out of the OA literature and I relapsed a lot with that, but I don't know. I'm not saying that's the reason. I definitely know people who, I've known people with 20 years of absence who have never even read the big book. I just think it just depends on what you know, where you're at. But for me, the big book gives me clear directions and instructions I do enjoy reading the other literature, and I read it with some of my sponsees. But as far as like specific, like get from point A to point B, the big book is like my directions for living life. But I do like to, especially with newcomers, to incorporate, you know, more of the OA literature just as a way for like identification, but I mainly stick to the big book. But I've also relapsed, you know, with when I did the big book. So it's really a me issue. So,
what are the qualifications for becoming a sponsor?
Willingness, open-mindedness, and honesty, like everything else. I don't know. That came to my mind. Like I just shared a little while ago, I like to take somebody through all the steps before they are officially a sponsor. But, you know, if people are ready, feel ready to do it, go for it. Go for it. I don't think you can hurt anybody if they want it.
Like I said, I sponsored pretty early on, but that was out of necessity. I mean, out of real necessity, not that false necessity. You know, there's so much about it. And I was on the phone to my sponsor, or seeing him at meetings and talking about it. And, you know, so I definitely didn't get far from my sponsor. You know, if I got stuck in something, I didn't just pull something out of the air and say, maybe you should rent a plane, something, you know. I definitely got a hold of my sponsor and told him I'll get back to you.
Next question. Does a sponsee have to be abstinent to go through the steps?
I'll start because it's simple for me. I have a, yes, I tell people who are not abstinent yet that they're on step zero, so they don't feel like they're not doing work, because I feel like I was on step zero for a long time where I couldn't get abstinent, but I was still going like to step meetings and, you know, I was still learning. But I always think of it like if you got to put down the alcohol before you can actually have the experience that you can get from the steps. I know other people will disagree with me, and I've heard many. So I'm just going to say that for now.
Did you want to chime in, Dave?
Yeah, I would. excuse me. She can't shake a cold here. I don't require them to be abstinent, but I require them to, when they start to work, to try to be abstinent. I mean, they don't stick around very long if they aren't, you know. And I know a couple of times that starting to do the work gave them the power to do it. Like I said, if they're not abstinent, then their chances are less than average, you know, as far as I've seen.
Anything you want to add, Cindy?
I mean, I really think in a perfect world, yeah, abstinence is definitely, you know, that's the goal of, well, that's the ideal. But I also, if people are willing to do the work, then I'm willing to continue to work for them. And I figure, like, even if they're not entirely abstinent, I just feel like it's better than just going away and like dying in the food. And I'm here to help any way I can. And most of the people that I sponsor, like, they're really trying and they're doing everything that they can. And so they'll have like little bits and pieces of non-abstinent times, but they're abstinent a great deal of the time. The ones that are just really, really, really not, you know, tend to flee. So I feel like I can be helpful in that way. And as long as I feel like I'm being helpful and my higher power is helping me to be helpful, then that's what I'm here for.
Great. All right. Next question. Have you ever had to fire a sponsee?
Well, fire is an awfully aggressive word, okay? I've told people I don't think I can help them, you know, anymore. Or, you know, I don't think I can be able to help them. But I would never fire a sponsee. I've been fired. And, you know, well, I, I just cried for hours and hours. So sorry, I'm such a smart ass. Sorry.
Senior Blythe.
I hate that word. I really have always hated that word, fired. And I too have been fired. I had a woman fire me because she said I was verbally abusive. So anyway, I kind of chuckle about that. But and in early recovery, yeah, I probably was or came off that way. But there are maybe two times I can think in all the years, and maybe I sponsor a lot of people, and I'm not going anywhere. You know, if you want to get rid of me, that's one thing, but I'm not going anywhere. So even if you're not abstinent, I don't get into the heavy duty step work, but I'm not going anywhere. I'm here. And if I can be helpful in any way, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Who came up with that word fired? I don't think our co-founder did she?
I think there's been, I hate that word too, let go, I prefer. But I think there's been like one or two times in all my years that I can remember really feeling like it was kind of a toxic situation. And generally in a situation where it's not working out, like I don't have to do anything because they just leave. Mm. But it's also, if it's a truly, truly, I mean, it has to be a pretty bad situation for me to even address that, because I'm a kind of easy and going kind of person. But normally people tend to fire me by just never calling me again, you know?
Yep. Fire by ghosting. All right, next question. Can you talk more about how you sponsor the steps?
Who's going to go first? I'll go first. How do I sponsor the steps? I go right through the big book. It's all there. It's all there. Problem, solution, program of action. My husband is also in recovery. He tells his sponsees, he says, just read the black print, do what the verbs say. I'm an English teacher, so I say, and notice all the adverbs Bill uses, because he uses a lot. He not only tells you what to do, he tells you when to do it, how to do it, and where to do it, now, you know, immediately, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's really all there. That the instructions are there. I've accumulated a lot of materials in over the years. I have, you know, some materials I send to my sponsees, and have certain assignments, I guess. But the instructions are all there. And I'm gonna steal this from one of our members in our group, who says, we don't work the steps, we practice. He says, if I'm learning to play the violin, you know, I'm talking about David. He says, if I'm learning to play the violin, I first learn the skills. So when I go through the steps, I get the skill set. You know, I learn how to do a 4 and a 5 and a 6 and a 7 and an 8, 9. Then I get to 10, and now I've learned the skills. Mm. So now I practice 10, 11, and 12. And he said, I don't work the violin, I practice the violin, and I get better at it. And I love that analogy, because I think that's what it's about. And, I've gotten some outside sources. I've gotten some stuff from the early AA people that I find. I throw it in. I've done workshops with my sponsees. Right now I'm doing a traditions workshop, and then I'll be doing a workshop with their sponsees. And so we're like a community of people. And we kind of, you know, support each other through the steps. So,
Cindy or Dave?
I'm not kidding. I forgot the question.
Can you talk more about how you sponsor the steps?
Oh, well, I talked some about it when I was sharing. I'll just say that they have something to do every day, you know, in step work. So from the day they start, and after that, you know, it's 10th and 11th step and 12th step, the most important. You know, get to meetings, look for somebody to help. You know, tell them enough of your story to get them talking. It's, you know, like Bly said, the directions are in the book. So.
Oh, we lost Cindy. Okay, well, I'll move on to the next question then. Okay, I don't totally understand what this means as it's written, but I'll try to make it as best I can. How can I approach finding a sponsor that would work best for me? I've had a couple of sponsors and they've brought me to a certain place, but I need a sponsor. And I think what they're trying to say, I need a sponsor who sees sugar for me as an addiction. So it sounds like it's about how you approach a sponsor that's right for me. And they need somebody who knows about sugar.
It talks about find somebody who has one you want and ask how he or she got it. And, you know, the sugar thing, I don't have a problem saying that as an addiction at all. Sugar, salt, fat, those are the things that drive most of us back to that food. And, like, we don't have a choice either. So, no, I mean, I wouldn't have any problem with it.
Sugar is my heroin. So I'm surprised. I would think the question would be the opposite. Somebody would have more trouble finding somebody who doesn't identify with sugar as a problem, because I hear a lot of people, I've heard somebody say, this isn't Sugar's Anonymous, but most people do have that I work with have problems with sugar. But there are people who could do sugar. So, you know, and I've worked with people, you know, both, either or, but yeah, I personally don't spend a lot of time with food. I suggest somebody goes to a nutritionist. And so my relationship with my sponsee is not based on food. I mean, I know what their abstinence is, and if they want to send me their food, they do, and all that. But we get past the food and we get into the work. And if they have questions, that's why they would have a nutritionist or a dietitian or somebody who can help them with the food. So I don't even know what my sponsor eats. You know, none of my business.
Cindy, do you want to speak to the question? It's about how to find a sponsor that works for you and especially is sensitive to sugar as an addiction.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a lot of us out there. I haven't had dessert in over 10 years. So, I mean, I think of it as a total addiction, not just that, but many other things. But for me, you know, I help my sponsees identify. Most of the people I sponsor don't need me to do this, but if somebody needs me, then I'm happy to help them identify with their own. I tend to sponsor a lot of people who've been around forever and they already know what their absence should be and all that. But yeah, I would just say, you know, listen at meetings, call around, go to a lot of meetings. There's a lot of people out there who think of sugar as an addiction, for sure.
Okay. Cool. We have time for maybe one or two more. And this next one is, if a sponsee stops calling, do you call them?
No, I don't. I may, if I'm concerned and, you know, just, I may call or just check and make sure, but I don't. Again, the big book says if somebody doesn't want it, go find someone else to work with, and it's nothing personal against them. That's just the way I was taught. Don't go chasing after this, because one of my sponsors had told me that if somebody wants it, they're going to come to you, and if you're having to go after them, they might get it for a little while, but they're not going to have the same experience as if they're coming after it. So let them come after it. Let them, you know, chase the experience. You don't chase them. So.
Yeah. I start playing a nurse for their sprees, as it says in the big book, then their dependence becomes on me instead of on the higher power, on God or whatever your interpretation is. They get that through working the steps. You know, I cannot stop anybody from overeating. I can't cure anybody. So I'm a guide, an advisor, but I can't stop somebody from overeating, unfortunately.
I actually, well, since this is a diverse ways of sponsoring, I guess I'll just say that I actually do call people, but I don't chase people. So that's a big difference to me between chasing someone and like just doing like a check-in, and because I care about these people. It also depends on the situation, because some of them are like friendships, you know, they develop into friendships. And if someone has been calling me religiously and then just drops off the face of the earth, I'm absolutely going to call them. And, you know, it's just like, I'm just thinking of you. You know, it could be just something like a simple text, just thinking about you, wondering how you're doing, and just kind of letting them know that the door is open, you know, for them to. And then sometimes they'll call me and sometimes they don't. And, you know, I mean, I won't, you know, stalk people, but I might call them like once or twice, just let them know that I'm thinking of them. This is a sad disease, and this is a, you know, an isolating disease. And I just want people to know that I care about them. And and I miss them. You know, I get attached sometimes too much.
All right. Well, it's exactly 7 o'clock now, so we need to stop. Thank you for everyone who attended this webinar. Thank you to Dave Blythe and Cindy, our speakers. Thank you for everyone who did service at this meeting.